You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
I'm Sean the Orange Course, a retro game fan from the U.S.
And I'm Kevin Vink Tambernino, an import gaming fan who took things one step further and moved to Japan. Together, we make Famicom Dojo, a podcast that explores the Japanese origins of today's video games and consoles.
And speculates about their future. Assuming they have one.
It's modern games with a retro twist.
This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast. This week we talk about Nintendo's next console. A lot! We have a name, a form factor, a cool logo, but not much else. Vink and I both have the same pile of shame, more or less. Vink wonders if he'll ever buy a PS4 at this rate, and we struggle, really struggle, with using our powers for good. Yes, we were born to buy all this video games. Hey, Vink, you sly dog, you.
Hey, good old Charlie Brown.
Call me a blockhead. There's this whole thing. Never mind. I want to get derailed from my effusive praise of your powers.
Ah, my powers. Yes, yes. Which powers would these be then?
Oh, you know, the thing where you say something definitely won't happen and then it absolutely does.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Listen,
let's go back. That is yeah. not an accurate representation. I didn't say that it definitely won't happen. I said, maybe I did say that. I might have said
specifically what you said. I mean, you know, the Famicom Dojo video game podcast goes on hiatus for a little while, does a bunch of videos. There's no Nintendo NX news whatsoever in that time. And the moment we come back and say, there's been no news, and there definitely won't be any. Boom.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
You're welcome, Internet.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe Nintendo, as great fans of our podcast, was waiting until they knew that we were back, because we've been off for a long time. So they wanted to make sure that we were listening to the news and heard it so we could talk about it, because we might actually be the only advertising they actually do.
Oh, yeah. I read their shareholders meeting Q&A. It's definitely in there. It's like, you know, we cannot, you know, we had to cut back our advertising budget, and we cannot announce this until Famicom Dojo comes back.
Exactly. Exactly. Because their advertisement right now is a $20 donation to littlepodcast.com.
God, if only.
Yeah.
So, about that Nintendo Switch?
Should we just put it out there, what our impressions are?
Sure. Yeah, let's start with that, then we'll dig in.
If you like the podcast or videos and just want to help out, well, there's a way you can do that. Just sponsor an episode of the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast by going to littlepodcast.com, finding the Famicom Dojo logo, and clicking on the sponsor button. We would like to thank you for your generous contribution, so leave us a message that we can read on the show about you, or just drop us a line on why you like the podcast or videos, and then share this podcast with all your friends and brag to them about how you paid us to be nice to you, or something.
All right. Sold.
Yep. Me too.
This will be the first Nintendo hardware I buy at launch since. Oh, well, actually, I got my DS and Wii after launch. GameCube, I was at the launch, but. No, I think this is the. I'll put it this way. If I can pre-order it, this will be the first Nintendo hardware I ever pre-order.
Okay.
Remember, you had to convince me on both the 3DS and the Wii. Wii U in this podcast. And then I became like the greatest defender ever of the Wii U, loving it. And I think you kind of gave up on it.
Yeah, I mean, I never really played the Wii U for the games, as I've explained many times. And there's so many things on my pile of shame now. So many. I, you know, now that this next system's coming back, I'm realizing something kind of important.
Yeah.
That I'm never going to get to that backlog before it comes out.
Yeah, because it doesn't look like it's going to be backwards compatible because...
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, you're waiting for me to say it? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Because carts!
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. Carts. I mean, it's not a cart like, you know, a Masked ROM cart or anything. Like, it's not the return of, like, the Neo Geo. I mean, but it's, you know, it's cards. It's flash-based storage. But it's
sure.
it's a non-optical physical media.
Right,
and
right.
For,
I never
for
thought
people,
we'd go back.
For people who have gaming dens like me, this is great. I mean, this is wonderful.
The tiny, tiny boxes.
I
That's
know.
The thing.
Are
they going to be 3DS size? I wonder.
I don't know. I kind of like the Vita-sized boxes. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
Those are kind of cool. Or, I don't know. Actually, what would be really cool if they were like Japanese GameCube-sized boxes.
Sure.
I would like those. Yeah. I don't know. Either way, it's coming back. You know who must be really happy about this?
Shoot.
You'll hate me when I tell you.
Okay.
Because it's a bad joke.
Okay.
I think Tiny Cartridge must be very happy about this.
Oh, those guys. I should ask them if they want me on their podcast. They probably don't, but I would like to hang out with them. They seem cool.
They're cool guys. They're cool guys. But anyway.
Sorry, I didn't even think about it.
This is just absolutely wonderful. I mean, we're going to have to go back into having like a pouch with like cart slots in it. Oh man, I am so excited
because you
about
can take it
yeah.
on the go with you.
Yes, you can.
Oh, my
unfortunately,
gosh.
Unfortunately, if rumors are true, for about 3 hours.
Yeah, well, you know.
But you know what? That was the thing that kept me back from buying a 3DS. But it really didn't turn out to be that big of a problem because I am not in a place in my life anymore where I can play 3 hours of, you know, where I'm in any place where I'm 3 hours away from an outlet.
Right. Right.
Like, I'm not. Okay, your first impression.
Yeah, I was, man, they really hit that marketing hard, didn't they? You know, what's the name of the system? I'm never going to forget. It's like every three
yep.
seconds. Switch, click, switch, click.
Okay,
and
I gotta
it's like,
say,
it's, yeah.
Yeah, that sound effect, that's what sold me on the system.
Right.
The click sound effect. I don't know. It's a nice sound. It's a nice
sure.
sound effect. And I hope it continues to be part of their marketing, like how Sony does the boom and we as
sure.
the like, you know, before their ads start, I hope they just have that click. I just like it. Sorry, continue.
It's not bad. It's true. I was so distracted by some of that stuff that I didn't even realize that like the joystick and the button face buttons were inverted on that side until a little bit later.
Yeah.
And I feel really embarrassed by that. But like, you know, I'm like, oh, the first thing I noticed was like there was no D-pad.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on a second. I hit my cable. The first thing I noticed was there wasn't any D-pad on the left side, just that there was like, you know, a mimic of the face buttons more or
yeah.
less, so that the two controllers when they're detached are like the same, more or less.
I had heard that rumor before it came out, and at first I was like, nah, no way, because, you know, Nintendo invented the D-pad. It's their thing. But then the more I thought about it, yeah, the more it made sense when you saw the other cool thing it could do, which was to be able to allow two players to play with separate joysticks off one system.
Right, right. And I'm sure there's only limited options for that because maybe you need more than just that many buttons.
Well, I was thinking about that the other day, but like that's basically the same number of buttons as a Super Famicom controller minus the start and select.
Right, right. And I mean, it'll have one of those
yeah.
buttons on each of them anyway.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think there's a lot of games that can be played with six buttons and a directional pad. I mean, not a directional pad, an analog stick. I mean,
sure.
I would say, like, that was another thing. The two games that they showed off doing that, Mario Kart, yeah, totally play like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the basketball one. And since it's an NBA license, that means they must have 2K on board, because I Does anyone else have an NBA license these days?
No, I don't think so.
I know EA had NBA Jam a few years back, but I...
More than a few?
No, not that many.
What?
Like, it was on the Wii.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like a reboot.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, Wii was 10 years ago, so...
No, I think it was like 5 years ago. I've got it on my iPhone as well, so...
Oh, yeah, no, I think I did get that, but I never really played it.
It was okay.
Bummer.
But anyway, but either way, that showing a third party that, you know, 2K games, it would be a good get, and if it was EA, that'd be a good get as well, you know. And actually, it looks like both of them are on board when you see their list of partners.
God, yeah, not just that. There's a whole ton of third parties. That's like, you know, every time Nintendo announces a new console, there's always the spate of third parties that comes out for it too. And I'm like, oh, they'll be around for, you know, a hot minute, and then
not just the be Wii
Nintendo
U.
First party. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not
yeah,
the Wii U.
Well, the Wii U had a bunch of games that were announced that were like ports of 360 or PS3 games that, like, why would anyone want to buy these at this point?
Yeah, but I get that, but like. I'll show you this image. In fact, we should put it up in our show notes. Okay. There's an image of when the Wii U was announced, and behind them was a sign with like 10 retail partners. Okay. It was like Square Enix and EA and the Tetris Company. They were really kind of scraping Yikes. The bottom of the barrel there. But anyway, and compare it to the Switch lineup of retail partners, and of course. A lot of those Wii U ones dropped out, but like they're starting with like three times as many. So like even if there is that drop off, you know, it just represents a lot more confidence from developers to give it a go from the beginning. Because there's people on there who've never been associated with Nintendo before, from Software, you know, maker of Dark Souls and things like that.
Right.
You know, you've got. You've got 2K games, so that means that Rockstar is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lot of the smaller, a lot of the companies that were supporting the PlayStation Vita in Japan.
Right.
Like a lot of the smaller, you know, niche companies. And I think that makes sense because it doesn't look like Sony's putting out another handheld, and those games have got to go somewhere.
Right. Well, I tell you, I missed the fact that Skyrim was in that video because I never played it, but you know everyone
yeah,
else
someone had
who
to
did.
Tell me that too. What but that then, was? I'm like, yay, generic thing game,
right? But they, yeah. You know, people mention that, and then you know we find out that yes, they are going to be getting the Frostbite engine, and
yep.
I'm like, oh well, I bet you that's why they delayed. Oh my god, that's why I delayed Mass Effect Andromeda, isn't it?
Ooh, now Mass Effect Andromeda is on Frostbite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
It'll be the first Mass Effect game on that engine because I think it was Dragon Age Inquisition that was the first BioWare game on that engine.
Yeah, so I guess what that means though is I don't know. EA was willing to put their name on that sign, you know, at the end,
right?
And
right.
That's a major thing because they. They pretty much killed the Dreamcast by not supporting it with, you know, their titles and their sports games. And, you know, well, I mean, okay, that's a lie. Sega killed the Dreamcast by being Sega. But, you know, but that sure didn't help, especially in the United States, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But like, their absence on the Wii U was felt. Because that meant that the Wii U didn't have any football game, you know, other than the launch title. And it also, since Konami is Konami now, it means they didn't have soccer games as well. That means a lot to a lot of people. And, you know, Activision was still active for a while. And Ubisoft, as much as I like to rip on Ubisoft for the whole thing they did with the Rayman Legends game, they supported the Wii U a lot longer than anyone else.
That's true.
And, like, they're still supporting them with their Just Dance series, but you know, they released Watch Dogs on it long after the writing was on the wall.
Mm,
so,
yep.
Oh my gosh. And THQ and what THQ has become now, which is what THQ... No, they got bought out by, what is it, Runic or...
I don't know. Something. I don't remember.
THQ's back, by the way, at least as a brand.
Sure.
And they're releasing the first Darksiders for the Wii U. Yeah, I know, a Wii U game. They're releasing the like remastered like Darksiders 1. And my guess is they're getting there so they can have the audience, because I bet if they'd release another Darksiders game, it's coming to the Switch.
Okay.
But, oh my gosh, it's so weird to think there might be third-party games on a Nintendo system. But the best part of Switch, okay, controversial opinion time, get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Switch don't need them.
Oh yeah. I mean that
because now that like Nintendo's consolidating its handheld and console efforts, it means there'll be twice as many games from first parties, which is mostly what I buy anyway, and more than enough games for me.
Well, I mean, do we know that support's drying up for the 3DS because of this?
Well, I mean, 3DS is still doing pretty well.
Speaking of the aforementioned shareholders' meeting notes, it seemed like they were still planning on the 3DS to hold up a big pillar of their business for quite a while yet.
Well, it will, because you can get it. You can get a 2DS that's capable of playing 3DS stuff for $100, and Switch is maybe never going to reach that price point ever. And much like how they kept the Game Boy line going after the DS was launched, they're definitely gonna release some more games. And they definitely don't want to talk about it being a replacement for the 3DS now, right before Pokemon Sun and Moon come out. That would be crazy.
Right. Yep.
They'll definitely keep porting games for it. They might even get one more Pokemon, you know, for it. But you know, if the Switch is successful, it is a successor to the 3DS. If it's not successful, there'll be a successor to the 3DS.
Well, I just think the craziest thing about this is that there's potentially we could have put like a 3DS game on a home console, but because it doesn't do dual screen, it basically can't.
I don't know. I would say that if the rumored resolution is true, which is 720p, you flip that guy on its side. If it is a touchscreen, it should work fine.
I guess. All right. How about we delve into our list then?
Okay.
Let's start going through some things, because we can get all over the map and let's.
You're right. Hey, did we have any stake bets for this thing?
Oh my God, I don't.
Because I'm going to see you next week. In fact, when you're listening to this podcast, I'm probably... Am I at your house? I might be.
Maybe. It'll be the weekend of.
You're right. Okay. So, when this podcast comes out, I am in the same time zone as Sean.
Let's just go out for steak, and then we'll figure it out later.
Okay. Steak is on. And here's the thing. I'm sure at this point you've won a bet.
Mm.
And I'm sure I've won a bet at this point, so we'll just go Dutch. Worst betting system ever.
Hey, I don't think so, because you know what? We both get steak.
That's true. And neither of us paid for our steak.
That's right. We'll pay for each other's steak. All right.
Oh, Lord. Okay, go ahead.
So let's start with the things that we knew. Rumors going in that were proven true. So
it is
indeed It is indeed a hybrid console handheld thing. Although, you know, the specifics, well, you know, people suspect it'd be like a docking station. You pull it out and there's your handheld.
Yeah.
And the tablet form is very similar to a gamepad, which was pretty much predicted.
Were you surprised by that? I was surprised that the docking station wrapped around the whole system.
Oh, sure.
I really thought it would be more like the little dock that came with the Wii U controller.
Well, I thought about that, and it seems like, unlike the gamepad, this thing is made out of glass and not plastic.
Yeah.
We don't know this part for sure, but it seems like they have gone to a capacitive touchscreen, maybe. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah.
You know, if it is made of glass, then that makes sense.
Well, I think it's very slick. how that whole thing happens, and also because since it's holding the system better, for throwing those side controllers on, it's going to be easier.
Right. I look at my Wii U gamepad on its current near my TV perch, though, and I think, you know, it how dated it looks now, even though it's only, what, not even four years old yet?
I gotta say, it kind of looked dated before it came out.
Come on. But it just I realized how it's going to be replaced in a few months, and that makes me sad. But anyway, we mentioned also that it doesn't have discs anymore. It'll be this 3DS-like cartridge medium. But you said something about the storage size, which surprised me.
Well, the Wall Street Journal reported that the initial batch of cartridges is looking to be a 16 gig. That might turn out to be the minimum capacity of the cartridges.
Mm.
Just like how when the Nintendo 64 was first released, their cartridges came in at around 4 megabytes. Oh my goodness, wow. Right. Technology.
Right.
But like they were available in larger size. And I said megabyte, not megabit, which would be just take that times four. Right, I'm sorry, times eight. But yeah, it. So much like that, there should be larger size cartridges available. You know, there's always games to push it. So N64 went from 4 megabytes to the largest game size was 64 megabytes. That was mm-hmm. Resident Evil 2, if I remember incorrectly. Correct me if I'm wrong, but
right.
So that's a huge leap in capacity. But you know, obviously, even the largest size came nowhere near even a single CD game from the rival systems.
Right.
But because that's the thing that I keep hearing from all these people. They're like, going back to carts, look at how well that worked out for Nintendo last time. But, I mean, when you look at it, like, a single-layer Blu-ray disc is 25 gigabytes, and a mm-hmm. dual-layer is 50, and that's pretty much their limit. Yep. Right now. I don't know about the PlayStation 4, whether it could use a higher density disc or not. I am not sure. But regardless, say we're looking at a newer AAA game. It's probably going to come in at around 30 or 40 gigabytes after patches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then let's say it's a 50 gigabyte game. It's taking up the whole Blu-ray, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And compare it to a 16 gigabyte cartridge. Yeah, that, you know, it's about a fourth. But you can't compare it to the N64 because at the time that came out, it was like a hundredth. You know, the ratio right. was ridiculous. You know, even the later ratio was still like 10 to 1. Like, I understand that people are worried, definitely. And cartridges are a more expensive medium to write to, obviously. But it's not as glaring as it was during the N64 era, which people keep comparing it to. Because, look at it, even Sony decided carts were good for the PlayStation Vita.
Right.
So, you know, And there doesn't seem to be any real asset loss putting things on cartridges these days. And if the capacity is bigger, theoretically, and of course theoretically, the size of these cartridges over the years could surpass that of Blu-ray discs.
Yeah, this isn't really concerning me, except for the possibility that it opens up variable pricing in their titles. And if you have the choice to get Skyrim, whatever the console edition, for your PS4 for $60, but like, you know, Switch is $75 because they need more space. Then what are you going to buy?
Well, I guess it depends on what kind of experience I wanna have. If I was purely going to play it on a console, I might consider getting the PlayStation 4 one, you know, something like that. But like, if I am me, which I am. And I am not at my home all the time, I'd be willing to pay the premium to also have the portable version.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's what you're getting. You're probably getting an inferior television version. I'm not gonna lie here. This isn't going to have the power of the PlayStation 4, you know.
That's not what they're saying, though.
Well, they're not really saying anything, but like, it's unlikely to have the power of a PlayStation 4. I really, that would surprise me if it did. That would really surprise me. But I mean, I've never been that. You know, I've been primarily playing like Wii U, and I think those games look great because I don't play multi-platform titles very much, so, and Nintendo does a very good job with its art styles of producing good-looking games for its own hardware. But you think it's going to be up there with PlayStation 4?
Well, I don't want to jump ahead too much, and I forgot to add this to our list, so I added it just now. But okay. there is a brand new NVIDIA chip that was developed just for the Switch, and that's no small potatoes. Like I said, it took 500 man years to make. Yeah. So this is something that NVIDIA will probably be using in gaming going forward. But for now, it's going to be a Nintendo asset, and between needing possibly fewer instructions. And then hopefully thereby less storage space on the medium to be able to push comparable power. I think that you can't really compare apples to oranges just based on like CPU and stuff like that.
I can gather that, but like I think things like amount of available RAM and things like that are going to be limited to being run off a battery. Like,
right.
I think that's going to be the major limiting factor is just the actual physical size of the thing. Yes, it's an amazing portable processor. It's probably going to be kind of equivalent to the one they have in the Shield, if you're familiar with that. But of course, this is a custom one for Nintendo, so it might be a little more geared towards the gaming side. Well, not that the Shield isn't geared towards gaming, but it's also basically an Android computer.
Right.
I don't know, but it would. I worry that if it really was as powerful as the PlayStation 4, it would also carry a very powerful price tag with it.
Well, it's one of our unknowns, right? They have not said anything.
That is one of our unknowns. Yeah, I'd be willing for it to be like twice as good as the Wii U, which is still less than the PlayStation 4. twice as good as the Wii U, under $300. That'd be great.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen for a number of reasons.
But the thing is, if it's PlayStation 4 power, okay, just PlayStation 4. I'm not going to go nuts and think it's going to be up there with the Pro. But right. PlayStation 4 power, but it costs $400. I don't know if Nintendo can sell that.
Right.
Because the PlayStation 4 right now is, $300.
Right.
So, like, I don't know. Okay, let's keep going down the list.
All right. So, detachable controllers were apparently a known thing, but I didn't know. I hadn't heard about it, so I'm surprised, honestly.
Well, like, they were a known thing, but, like, the whole thing with, like, rumors is, like, who do you trust exactly?
Right.
So, like, they were reported and debated about whether that would happen. And I remember one of the big debates was they were saying that they wouldn't have a D-pad. And everyone was like, okay, that proves the rumor.
Yeah,
that
right.
proves the rumor isn't true, because Nintendo D-pad. D-pad.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that is a disappointing thing to me. But I can totally see why they did it. And one thing I like about the Switch, though, is theoretically, they could release a D-pad controller.
Well, I mean, if you buy a Pro controller, then you have
No, but I mean, like, they could release, like, because you can snap on whatever to that thing.
Oh, sure.
They could have one that's just a D-pad, and on the other side is just two buttons. I mean?
I can just see it now. It's like those new 3DS face plates or whatever.
Yep.
It's like you can have any style you want for your Switch. Just switch them on. Switch them out. $20. Here you go. You got a new set of. Wow. The no D-pad thing. I didn't really notice at first until I saw that the two controllers were supposed to be identical-ish to each other. Like, did I say that before the show or during? I don't even remember anymore.
Before.
It was before the
show.
Well,
maybe
okay.
During. I don't know.
Let me repeat myself then. It's like I didn't. Yeah, didn't I mention during the animation the Switch? Yeah, I did. That was during the show.
Yeah.
But so yeah, now you have these two like little controllerlets that are identical to each other. But I didn't notice right away, and someone pointed out in this little image format, that the directional buttons look a lot like the C buttons from the N64.
Yeah, yeah.
So or, I'm okay with yeah. this.
Or what? Yeah, I'd say those are very similar. They don't. I was very worried because I don't really like how the PlayStation 4 control, like the. I never really cared for their directional buttons.
Sure.
Being separated like that, but you know, it doesn't look too bad.
Even with the PlayStation's controller buttons, like underneath, it was still one piece of plastic, right? Like, yeah. they're actually separate buttons that won't affect each other at all when you push them.
Very true, very true. And I, you know, you get used to it while you're playing, and you don't pay attention after a while.
Sure.
That Pro controller that they showed, though, that looked super comfy. Like,
right?
Like that looked crazy comfy. Because I'm already a huge fan of the Wii U Pro controller.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one?
Oh yeah.
In fact,
I did a video about the Wii U Pro Controller for something I never released, yeah. and I think we mentioned this in like a Denshi mail before we went on hiatus, that I should really get that video done. And now, like, yep. I really got to get that video done because it's going to be out of date in like 5 months. So, yeah.
But I would be happy if they just re-released that. I wonder if that could be compatible if they've got Bluetooth or whatever.
Well, that's what I got underneath, like the things that we're not sure about.
Yeah.
Or we don't know for sure. It's like, it would be nice if any of the Wii or Wii U hardware is compatible, like the Pro Controller. Like, if it doesn't seem like there's any extra buttons on it, it should work. One would think. It seems like Wii controllers might work because there's like information about how there's like a Wii. Or like a infrared emitter peeking out in the top of the dock there, and then this, like one of the controllers has a sensor for it, so maybe like a regular Wii remote can work with it too.
I don't. For me, I'm kind of hoping, and I this will sound strange coming from me because I'm very pro backwards compatibility and everything, but after the Wii U fiasco, I kind of hope they aren't supported.
Really?
Because it confused people so very, very much. Mm. Like, you buy a game and it's like, you can play it with a classic controller, or this controller, or a Wii Remote, or the gamepad, or a Pro controller. And, like, sometimes it the paradox of choice, you know? Like, by having so many different options, it confuses people as to what they're actually supposed to be doing. I think it would take them off message. Because... one of the big reasons why a lot of people thought that the Wii U was itself just a new controller and not a new system was the messaging in that first reveal. They kept saying, the new controller can this, the new controller can this, and they never showed the system.
Right.
And then also they showed all these Wiimotes, so everyone's like, oh, it's the Wii still. What is going on? You know. Maybe they can offer that feature, but they shouldn't advertise it.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It should be, like, a feature, like, yeah, you can do this, but, like, because I love IR pointing. I think it's great. Motion controls, I could live without, but IR pointing was wonderful for certain games. I can't even imagine playing World of Goo without it.
Well,
but,
especially if there's no touchscreen, or if there's a touchscreen, you can't use it while it's docked. This would be a necessity.
This would indeed solve that problem. So, we'll see, but like, the thing is, what was really nice about this video was I felt their messaging was on point.
Oh, definitely.
Like it was a 3-minute video, and everyone was like, 3 minutes? We're not gonna find out anything.
Right.
But we still have a lot of questions. But
a lot of surrogates gonna talk for 2.5 minutes, and then we'll get 30 seconds of footage, and we'll not know what it is. But I didn't expect like an ad.
And that was all it took. I am completely sold on this thing now, unless something really bad comes out about it. Like, turns out the thing has a 17-minute battery life, costs $800, and is region locked. You know?
I am worried about that though, because the gamepad, which doesn't have a whole, you know, like game processor in it, it's not like a whole console, barely lasts a couple hours on its own. So like, how the heck is the Switch going to last more than 17 minutes?
You see, that's why I'm doubting that the power is going to be up there with the PlayStation 4. I realize that these new...
Well, when it's a handheld, I think we all know it's not going to be as powerful, but when it's docked, that's a different story.
Well, the thing is, it well, and this is a little confusing too, but it appears that Nintendo has said that the station itself is just to power the thing.
Well, sure.
Like,
that
it's
makes
not,
sense.
It's, there's not, like, additional graphics processors in
no.
it. But what I'm thinking is, like, that if it's getting more electricity, it could theoretically, you know, like, they could have, you know, when you're off the dock, the processor is underclocked.
Right.
And, you know, and when you're on the, well, if it's going to, you know, do 1080p when it's hooked up to a TV or more.
Right, it's going to have to.
It's
going
to have to. It's going to have to, you know, because. But man, I was just so happy when it opened up and there's this dude sitting on the couch and he's playing Zelda, which already I'm done, you know, Zelda, yes. And then he's like, stupid dog wants to pee or something. and of course, like, all the Nintendo fans were sitting there like going, does that dog not realize there's a new Zelda game out? Just
yeah,
let
what
him
the heck,
pee.
Dog?
Just let him pee. Let him pee. Or just open the door, let the dog go away, because you're not going to pay attention to him for a while anyway, because new Zelda.
Right.
But the guy's like, no, I've got a Nintendo Switch. Look at this, dog. I'm going to take this. And the dog's like, whoa. And the dog's also like, man, that controller kind of looks like my face.
I think what we all learned from this is that we are all the dog in this scenario.
We are all the dog. But then he goes out and he's like, okay, dog, you go do whatever dogs do. I'm going to keep playing my game because this is the new Zelda.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, just when it came off the dock and like it switched with that cool sound effect to being Zelda on the go, I'm just like, wait a minute. I mean, people are looking at this thing the wrong way. A lot of people are looking at it and going, man, this is going to be a really underpowered console. What they should be going is, this is the most advanced handheld ever made, ever.
Right. I mean, sure, I can get a iPad for $800, but does it have sweet Snap-on controllers? I don't think so.
But, like, even an iPad, you know, has to run all of the OS underneath it. So, right. even I just got an iPhone 7, which has a very fast processor, a lot of RAM, blah, 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 blah. But it's never going to be a good game player. You know.
What? Oof. What? Whoa. Do you have any? How many?
Uh-oh, I broke
I'm
Sean.
A connection about this.
Okay,
but,
go ahead.
Like, they're sometimes I swear that my iPhone 6 is like a better console than my 3DS.
Whoa.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Tell me about your wonderful gaming experiences on your phone. And this, I know this is a reversal because a couple of years ago I was heavy into the iOS gaming scene.
I swear we've done stuff. I mean, you play Pokemon Go, right?
yeah. Well, not so much anymore.
All right. So I think when it initially came out, the Back to the Future Telltale game was iPad only, but they finally made it so that app could run on like an iPhone 6. And I fired it up. Uh-huh. And like the computer I had at the time that game came out could not run graphics as well as this phone does.
Well, no, I admit that the phone can do. And for adventure games, the phone's great. That's how I played the Monkey Island remaster. That was very good. But like, tell me that the phone would have done that better than the Switch would have.
Well, no. I mean, but the input controls matter here.
Yeah.
But you know, you can plug in a Bluetooth controller into a phone, and that's more or less all the Switch controllers are,
because
they're always wireless. They're always wireless.
Yeah.
No matter. Well, I mean, maybe there is like a more direct input when they're like part of the handheld, but like when they're on the Joy-Con,
I'm hoping, and this is another thing we don't know, but I'm hoping that when they're connected to the system, they're charging.
If you look at the Joy-Con, there's lights showing like, you know, green. I assume that means that, you know, it's charging or.
Well, I'm just hoping I'm hoping that they don't internally have like AA batteries or something.
No,
because Nintendo's done it.
I know. I'm sure it's lithium ion. Like, they look like they're kind of thin.
Yeah.
So I don't expect. I do have some concerns about how durable that clicking snap-on mechanism is, though, because if there's anything that's going to break on this thing besides the screen, it's going to be the mechanism for snapping those controllers into place, which you fortunately don't need to play.
Yeah.
But if you lose that feature, it seems like, well, this thing's junk.
Hopefully it's pretty good. I mean, if it's one of their main features, I gotta say though, Nintendo handhelds build quality is. Mm. I was gonna. Okay, there was the issue with the joint.
I dropped my DS, my original DS Fat once.
Yeah.
And it just like shattered the spine, just all to hell.
Yeah.
And like, you know, what happens if you drop this thing like right at the right angle and it hits, you know, with the controller attachment first? Like, is it just going to snap right off and break forever?
Yeah, but it'll cushion the screen, which would.
It's got to be made of glass. I don't know.
Anyway. Okay. No, I get that. I get that. Okay. Let's keep going. Do you got anything else on your list?
Yeah, we talked about a whole bunch of this stuff. So something that we don't know about, that we're guessing based on a number of different sources, is the fact that it might have a capacitive touch display, which is a big deal because of the cost of those things typically. Like that's one of the reasons, besides all the advanced hardware, that phones cost so much, is because those displays, while very versatile as far as, you know, the ability to like do multi-touch and everything, isn't like the what's the other one called? Resistive touch displays, which is what Nintendo's used for the gamepad and the 3DS and DS before it. You know, that's plastic that has to do with, you know, pressure, whereas capacitive stuff has to do with your finger literally interrupting like electron flow here. So if they've gone to glass and they've gone to capacitive, that's going to jack the price of this thing up unless they found a way to do it more cheaply.
Well, I don't know. Like, since the Wii U came out, I think prices have gone down quite a bit. Now, look at like the PlayStation Vita, okay? Mm-hmm. You can buy that for $200, and it has two capacitive screens, one in the front, one in the back. You know, and even like the cheapest of smartphones, your like $100 phones, the Android phones these days, have, you know, multi-touch capacitive screens. I guess,
but like the larger the size, the more that cost goes up.
I guess, but look at the Amazon Fire tablet. You can get one of those for $199, and it's also, you know, a tablet, you know.
Okay.
So I think if Nintendo can produce them, like if the excitement's there and they can produce them in quantity, in large quantity, I think probably that screen isn't going to be a huge thing. A lot of people, when it was announced that it was probably going to be 720p, a lot of people went, what? Not 1080p? And 1080p, that's going to really raise your price there. You know what I mean? But this is, compared to a smartphone screen or a tablet screen, kind of low res, actually.
Well, no, handhelds aren't 1080p because like there's like this distance to pixel density ratio where you can't.
Oh, no,
tell
I know. But a lot of smartphones are 1080p.
Wow.
Yeah. The iPhone 7 Plus is 1080p. I think the Galaxy Note was 1080p.
Is that because it's blowing up your Resolum illusion, or is it just blowing up your
hands? I don't want to joke about that too much because I'm flying tomorrow. Hopefully nobody's rocking a Note 7, or this is the last podcast. But like a lot of those screens are, even at that size. But 720 will make it the highest resolution screen on a mainstream handheld ever, because the Vita screen was a 540p. So this will have a much higher pixel density and resolution than any previous handheld. So I don't see why people are complaining. And frankly, at that distance from your face, probably it's not even going to make a huge difference whether it's 1080p or 720p. It'll make a big difference when it's hooked up to a TV, though.
Man, I got to find a more recent source than this, because this only goes as high as the iPhone 5 here.
I bought my phone yesterday and I was comparing resolutions and stuff. That's the only reason I know it off the top of my head.
Okay.
The 7 in itself is below 1080p. It's right, only the 7 sense. Plus, yeah.
Yeah, I see Quad HD 1440. 6S Plus comes with 1920. Okay.
But anyway, regardless, I think it's going to be plenty good. But since it is not a 1080p screen, it's possible that they are not quite as expensive as you might be thinking they are.
Okay, That could be, but I can't imagine this thing debuts for much of anything below $400.
I don't know if Nintendo can swing that, though. I would be willing to pay $400 for the Switch, but I don't know how many other people would. You know,
yeah.
It's not a mass market price, and to tell you the truth, that's one of the things that really, really hurt the Wii U when it came out.
So if it's not $300, which is what, like, you know, the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, you can get those for now. You know, the non S and Pro versions, respectively. I mean, the other thing too, it's like, it's kind of like wine, right? Like, you know, it's worth whatever you're willing to pay for it. And it's like, well, the Switch is only worth $300. Why would I buy that when I can buy this more expensive console? That's better. Obviously better. Well,
I would say that the Switch could deal with a $400 price point. You know what? Never mind. I was going to say in Japan. But now that I think about it, like, I think the primary target in Japan is going to be people looking for a 3DS replacement, you know. And what parent is going to shell out $400, possibly multiple times, you know, if they have more than one kid, for this thing?
No. That is one downside to this. It's like when you're playing on the go, you don't have a home console anymore. It is gone. It is out of the house. It is stolen from the bus.
Yep.
Or the inside of your car.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm really hoping. Here's the price I'm hoping for, and it's not going to happen probably because Nintendo's not planning to sell this thing for a loss. But if they could sell this thing for $250, I would buy two of them.
Wow, I don't think that's happening.
Well, I mean, it's hard.
That's like the original 3DS was that much, right?
Yeah,
I don't think that's happening.
Now, that was another handheld that had a very expensive screen when it came out because of the 3D effect. But I don't know, though. Like, if Nintendo has been paying attention, like, the 3DS was a very solid system that didn't sell well because of a ridiculous opening price.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, people loved the DS. DS is the best-selling system in history. And they weren't willing to make the jump to 3DS because of the price. People don't like the Wii U. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, there'll always be a contingent of people who will buy it regardless because it's going to launch with Zelda.
Right.
Raise his hand. But, I mean, you know. Right. Although I'm excited about that Mario game they showed. That looked really good. It's returned to galaxy form, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if they really are serious about making this a mainstream thing, a $400 price point is really going to hurt them. I guess we'll see. Stake bet?
We'll see. Stake bet. All right. I'm saying 400. You're saying less than.
I'm saying, yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying closer to 300. I'm saying closer to 300 than 400.
Hmm. All right. So does that give me wiggle room then? If it's 350, yeah. Who wins?
If it's, ooh. We both win because we'll have another steak dinner than we buy each other steak.
Perfect.
Yeah,
right.
That's perfect. I hope it's 350 now because I would really like a steak.
We'll bring our switches to dinner and set them up with the stand. That thing is gonna break.
The stand? Yeah. I don't really plan to use that stand very much. Although that thing where they had it hooked up to in the back of the van, to play Mario Kart. I could see me getting one of those for the car.
Sure. Not while you're driving, though, please.
Oh, for the kid, not for me.
Right.
But, like, I mean, I already know, like, it's almost like they went, okay, we're gonna make the Nintendo Switch. I think we must ask ourselves first, what does Kevin want in a system? You know, I mean, you know,
well, naturally,
because it's the total daddy system. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, you can play it on on the TV. It's got those little controllers that slip off that are great for little hands with very few buttons. So
we'll never get lost ever.
Super lost, but like that. So does everything in my house. But like. You know, so they're obviously going to have a simpler style game that can be played like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
And then I can just take it with me to the bedroom. Now, the problem I had with the Wii U is it was too far away from my gaming room. It worked fine in the bedroom, but it was too far away from my gaming room, so I couldn't bring it with me. But this one, I don't have to worry about range. Because it is the system,
right?
So
yep.
I'm, and like there'll be, you know, probably double the output of first party titles, which is what I buy a Nintendo system for, you know.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well,
oh,
here
man, I just want that steak now.
My last thing I wanted to mention was the concern, and I guess we'll see how this shakes out, but
okay.
Like, I don't know what, if any, onboard storage this thing could possibly have, and it's going to need it as a minimum just, you know, for like patches and stuff, but
the rumor, oh, okay. Go ahead. Keep going.
There can't be anything in the dock because you got to be able to like be on the go. You can't plug
yep.
in a USB device. Because,
correct.
Again, that's into the dock when it has USB port. So I'm hoping things like you can use the GameCube adapter for, you know, the future versions of Mario Kart or Smash Brothers or whatever.
That's my guess, yeah.
But, you know, like what, you know, short of like having SD cards in the thing, I don't know what they plan on doing for that.
Well, it will have SD cards.
It will. That's for sure.
I don't know, but... the same rumor source that talked about the removable controllers. So
okay, because you know, but, 3DS uses SD cards, so that's not
actually
that's not a stretch.
This one actually might be a confirmed one from the investors meeting, because the idea being thrown around was that it supported SD cards out of the box up to 128 gigabytes.
Okay.
But much like the 3DS originally only supported up to 4 gigs, but now supports like 64 or something.
Right.
I think officially 32, but 64 if you format it right, you know.
Mm.
Probably there'll be a firmware upgrade that as bigger micro SD cards, yeah, it's micro SD, made, that it'll support those two. Because right now, micro SD goes to, I think they might have just released the 512 gigabyte, but they're ridiculously expensive.
No, they're really expensive. Right.
But like, you can get like a 128 gig for not super, super much. But the thing about SD, though, is they go down in price so much. When I first came to Japan, I visited the United States I don't remember what for. Maybe for a convention. It was like my first time back. Mm-hmm. And I remember I bought a 1 gigabyte SD card for my camera so I could take photos. 1 gigabyte. And it cost me $109.
Wow.
And it was a pretty good deal.
Right.
And that was about 12 years ago. And like right now, when we were filming last, I bought a 64 gigabyte card for my video camera for $12.
Sorry.
So, I mean, you know, I'm not too worried about if it supports a non-proprietary format like SD, I'm not too worried about it.
It's the reason this is even a question is annoyingly because of the Wii U, because, you know, the Wii, yeah, you popped in an SD card, and then, you know, eventually they had this update. You know, you could like stick your downloadable games on there, and game saves could be backed up to that because it's still to be on the main system to run, but you could still copy it off
the
SD card. No, the Wii.
Oh, the Wii, because the Wii U never supported it.
Right,
yeah.
The Wii U supported that as far as the Wii did, you know, the onboard Wii, but it's like it was insane to me that there was not an option to actually extend your internal memory, because 32 gigabytes is nothing.
It is nothing. I mean, I had an old hard drive lying around, luckily. And so I like half a terabyte or something. Not much, but for Wii U games, that's plenty. And I've got all my stuff on there. But yeah, for this one, it doesn't make sense. Like, I think Nintendo officially said it won't support external hard drives.
Well,
but like,
it
wouldn't make any sense to, because for one thing, if you didn't sync everything right, the moment you pull that switch off, you could corrupt your hard drive, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's, and, you know, anybody with kids knows that things get pulled off, you know? So anyway, regardless if they can't have an external hard drive, the rumor right now, again, rumors, but it's amazing how many of these rumors turned out to be true. So it's looking like 32 gigs of onboard. But think about it. Think about it. Like,
I'm thinking about it. I've been thinking about it.
Okay. It's definitely going to make the system harder to go all digital. But
well, that's the thing, right? Like, they were pushing so hard the digital downloads in the eShop this whole time, and it's like, it already isn't enough. How the heck do they expect...
Physical media.
They had physical media before. This is not a new thing.
I know, but... I know handhelds traditionally... Well, not traditionally, but recently, you know, a lot of people have been going all digital with Vita and 3DS. Vita maybe a little less so, just because the proprietary cards are so expensive.
Well, because it's Sony, and Sony, right.
Sony's got a Sony. Yeah, anyway.
Sony. You do you.
I do. I have a Vita, and I'm mostly digital just because it's hard for me to get English software here. And because PSN sales are so cheap. But my thing is I'm constantly having to delete old stuff and put new stuff on, because like a 64 gig card is like over $100.
Jeez.
Like incredible. Like if they would have gone with SD, it would have been really, really simple. But, and you know, Vita games are pretty big. So with this, that's going to be the same problem. If you are playing games that are clocking in at about 16 gigs each, you know, if you have a 64 gig card on that thing, you know, it's only 4 games you could have at the same time.
Right.
And I'm guessing for patches and stuff, that's where the 32 gigabytes of internal RAMs, internal memory is going
to
come in.
Well, sure, but I'm hoping to have Virtual Console stuff on here.
Well, Virtual Console stuff takes almost no space at all. And I just hope that whoever's doing Virtual Console, they get the same people who are doing for the, like, the NES Mini thing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I haven't played it, but, like, it looks so much better than the emulation they did on the Wii U.
How do you mean? How, like, can there be much difference at all that you could be able to detect?
The Wii U, maybe it's not so bad for the NES stuff, but for the N64, it's really dark.
Is it?
Like, it's weird. It's like, it doesn't look right.
Okay.
It looked better on the Wii, actually. It looked better on the Wii.
I don't have any Wii U N64 games, so I can't really compare.
I upgraded a few of mine that I bought previously, you know, because it was like $1, you know.
Sure.
I wonder if they're going to do that again.
Well, I mean, if they only have a micro SD card, they literally can't.
Do what?
At least not the mechanism they had for the Wii to Wii U.
That
required a regular size SD card. And 512 megabytes.
Well, I mean, there's adapters and stuff.
Well, maybe they'll use the My Nintendo account instead.
That's what I'm hoping. Like, I'm hoping that that's why they got that whole thing set up. Because obviously there's going to be no backwards compatibility with Wii and Wii U stuff.
Is it obvious? I'm still pulling.
It depends how much Nintendo wants to make it happen. I think Wii U, since it's a totally different architecture, you know, you're switching from ATI graphics to NVIDIA for one thing. You know, there's a lot of trouble that's going to happen. It might happen like Xbox support on Xbox 360.
Yeah.
You know, where some games work and nothing works completely. And you know, like, you know, if they feel that they can do that. But personally, we're living in the age of remasters right now.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think they're going to work to make Splatoon backwards compatible. They're just going to release Splatoon.
Spelled T-W-O-O-N.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm still holding that hope that like a gamepad's going to work with the thing.
It might. But like,
Standalone screen everyone was asking for.
I'm really looking forward to Nintendo launching the virtual console again with Wrecking Crew, Urban Champion, you know, and waiting a year to get Super Mario 3.
Don't forget Balloon Fight.
I like Balloon Fight, but it's just the slow drip of those titles out. It's just, okay, take what you have on the Wii U right now, and that's day one, and then drip out more titles afterwards. Right. But, like, waiting, what was it, 2 years to get N64 titles? That was ridiculous.
Well, we're literally not going to see Neil the Library at this point in the next 5 months that the Wii had on
no
the
chance.
Wii U. It's just...
And that's ridiculous. And we lost systems, too. I mean, I'm sure it was for licensing, but I really hope Nintendo got their ducks in a row this time and went, we need a contract that's not just for one system. We need a contract that is... But you know what? They have no excuse for not getting their own games out.
Right.
I mean, I know they want to make sure they test them and it looks good and they have the digital manuals and blah, 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 blah. But seriously, just... Virtual Console could have been like the killer app, you know what I mean? But it's like this little extra thing that even Nintendo doesn't seem to care about. I don't know.
Well, we can literally talk about this forever, I think, so we should probably
we really could, but now that we've said, now hold on. This is important. I have to say this so Nintendo can hear it. Okay. Nintendo announced that there's not going to be further information from them until next year, January of next year. And they already announced the conference date, which is the 12th of January. Right. And they said they're not going to have anything more from that. Nintendo, I believe you 100% that you will release no more information before that time. In fact, there won't be a smidgen. There will be no new game releases. You will not tell me if it's region-free or not. There will be no hint to battery life or anything like that. No information whatsoever. Total blackout. Okay. I think maybe that covered it. So let's talk.
You can't abuse this power.
So next week on the podcast, let's talk about all the things Nintendo's revealed in this past week.
Jeez.
I mean, no, they won't release anything. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. They heard me. I think I jinxed it.
Way to hedge.
Yeah. Gotta hedge my bets. Anyway. Let's move on. Let's move on. Yes, we were born to fail on this return game.
Here's how it works. One of my friends comes by the studio, I pick their favorite movie, and we talk about it for 10 minutes.
Luke, why the f*** do you like this movie?
Well, I'll tell you why the f*** I like this movie, Rob.
Go get it. It's on Netflix. Go watch it. It's brilliant. Do it now, or I'll punch you.
Up top!
This is 10 minutes about your favorite movie.
Listen to 10 minutes about your favorite movie every Monday on the Little Podcast Network.
In Future Retro, we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we played for the first time, or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing, and we try to convince each other if we should.
Or not. So, I hear that you have a pile of shame for me.
I do. I know I've been doing a lot of Future Retro lately because I really like introducing games people haven't heard about, but I haven't really had much time to find anything new, so I'll talk about one that I've embarrassingly stopped playing.
Mm.
And this is a game that is a classic, and this will sadden a lot of people that I have not yet finished it, but my pile of shame is The Last of Us.
Shame. No.
Yep.
Dude. Oh, all right. I'll let you talk.
Oh. Yep. It's sitting with my other PlayStation 3 games right now, and it's like, do you think Vink will ever play us? Yeah, but I think it'll be The Last of Us. But anyway,
Sorry.
Didn't even work very well as a joke. Okay, I have a good reason.
Oh, do you? You're playing, yes, Mass Effect. That's not the good reason.
No, but you just gave me my pile of shame for next week. I believe you already know the reason, but the situation hasn't changed. My disk drive stopped working.
Oh, that's right.
In the system. So I can only play the things that I bought digitally now. I'm looking to get another PlayStation 3 because they're not that expensive. I can get one for about $100, you know, if I just buy the system without any controllers or cables, which I don't need, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to wait till after my trip because who knows what I'm going to buy.
So you're saying that if you do pick up a copy of Lego Dimensions, it won't be for the PS3 because the disc won't work.
That's very true.
That's the cheapest one you can get too, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah, but yeah, you're still trying to sell me on Lego Dimensions, aren't you?
Oh, I got
saw those
week.
Pictures you sent me today.
Uh-huh. I also sent you pictures of the prices. No, that was supposed to be a joke about salacious Lego Dimensions. Never mind. Anyway, yeah.
Yes,
continue. The Last of Us.
Okay, so I was very much enjoying my time with The Last of Us when I booted up. I really only played the first like 2-3 hours, and that first hour, you know what I'm talking about? That first story, the kind of bait and switch, you know.
Mm.
Can I do spoilers on this? It's been out for a long time.
I have talked about this game, but I don't remember what detail I went into. But feel free to talk about plot details. It's just the first couple hours, too. Maybe it'll entice people to pick it up.
But, like, you play as a character who doesn't make it, you know. But, like, it really helps to establish, you know, the world that this game's going on in. And, like, the stakes. I think that's the main thing. It, like, puts, like, a lot of games will show, like, a bunch of zombies murdering people, and then, oh, I better kill those zombies. They've been murdering a lot of people. But, like, the emotional attachment's not there. But if you play one of these people who's eventually going to get murdered...
Mm.
Sorry, spoiler, but it's in the first, like, 35 minutes.
Right.
But, like, you have the chance to find out why it's important. It adds like that human element that, and unlike a lot of, I complained about this a lot with Torchwood and things like that. It didn't feel cheap.
Right. Right.
It didn't feel like, I mean, yes, this character was introduced to, you know, be killed off for an emotional connection. True. But it was done very, very well. And I thought, and because I hadn't had spoilers really to that point, or had forgotten them, it still came as a surprise to me. And I know that there's more things like that throughout the game.
Mm.
To tell you the truth, though, like, it's not my type of game in the way it controls, the way it plays. I'm not into shooters so much.
Sure.
But, like, it was the story and the world was compelling enough for me to overlook that. I feel the same way about Mass Effect.
Yeah, because
Mass Effect is not a game that I would normally pick up and play, except that the world building is so cool.
They have similar-ish mechanics too with the shooting. There's a lot of duck and cover stuff. And but like in the very specific case of this game, you know, you can create distractions, and in some cases, like you cannot get into a firefight. Like it will be the end of you.
But now I'm wondering if I will ever beat The Last of Us. Now listen, it's not for lack of wanting to, but like this copy that I have here on my PlayStation 3, I'm wondering if eventually I'm going to get a PlayStation 4 and maybe I'll just go for the remaster.
Yeah, I was going to say I that's $20 right now. I bought it for $40 on sale like 2 years ago and didn't play it until last year.
Well, I don't know, but the thing is now I wonder if I'm going to ever buy a PlayStation 4 now because, I don't know, will the Switch get some really good third-party stuff?
Yeah, but you can't play The Last of Us on a Switch.
No, you can't. You can't play The Last of Us because that's made by Sony. But like things like Mass Effect, though, who knows? The Switch is going to have Frostbite, so, and they're also going to have Unreal 4. They're going to have the Unreal 4 engine you know, and who knows what other things. And that leaves it up to the fact that these games, maybe won't look as good on the Switch, but, you know, these engines are very scalable, as you can see that they've been able to be scaled down to, like, the Unreal 4 engine can play on phones.
Right. Yep.
So, like, instead of having to make all these weird ports, if they port it at all, like, Do you remember when Dead Rising came to the Wii?
Oh yeah, sure.
We played it at Tokyo Game Show.
Because
it was really weird because it was just a reskinned Resident Evil 4 engine game.
See, that I didn't realize.
Yeah, because they couldn't run Capcom's what's the engine it was on?
I don't know.
Something Frame or something. I don't remember, but they couldn't run the engine that it was made for, so yeah. Think of playing a PC game on like lower settings, and that may be what the NX will be if I win my bet. But if you're eating delicious Vink steak, that didn't sound
phrasing.
And it actually is as powerful as those systems. Then the only reason people would be stopping is if, like, they were worried about the cost of cartridges, or they just don't like Nintendo.
Well, it's funny that this was your pile of shame, because my pile of shame is a little game, or I should say a piece of downloadable content for a game called Left Behind.
Game.
And not like the zombie shooter. Or not? Sorry, what am I thinking of? Left 4 Dead. That's what I'm thinking of. And not like the
isn't Uber... Left Behind like a Kirk Cameron?
Yeah, I was gonna say not the Uber post-apocalyptic Christian. No.
They did make a game of that though. They did.
God.
They did. I think it was isometric shooter.
That's for a future show.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get to that. We really should do a game about We should really do a show about Christian video games, as I've got my arcade coming soon.
Oh my gosh, I have like an almost complete wisdom tree set at this point too.
Yeah, you're familiar with the arcade, right?
Oh yeah.
It's all the wisdom tree games shoved into an NES controller.
Listen, you. I need my carts. We can compare and contrast.
Okay.
That does sound pretty cool. But, this is a midquel, I guess.
Okay.
There is a spot in The Last of Us where a little bit of time passes. Not a whole lot, but enough that that's really all I want to say. And this sort of fills in that gap. But it also delves into the history of one of the characters that doesn't get fully explored during the game. And I welcome this. The only problem is having played through the entire game all in one shot, because you know you think that intro sequence gets bad. Yeah. There are some heavy hitters yet to come, and it is just too emotionally draining for me to pick it up. Like I started the first 5 minutes, went through the cutscenes, and went nope. Especially the part where it picks up, I'm just like, no, I need to take a break from this. And it's been when was this my future retro? I want to say earlier this year. Was it late last year?
But I don't remember.
It's finally been enough time that I've healed enough. The scars are still there, but I can go back and nice. Finish the fight. So,
All right.
I'm glad you led with that, because it kept mine nice and short and sweet.
To train your game, head over to our show notes at famicomdojo.tv/podcast for additional pictures, video, and bonus audio for this episode. Call us at 608-492-1923 to leave a voicemail for our Denchimail episodes, or send us a comment on Facebook or Twitter at Famicom Dojo. Consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes, and be sure to subscribe to Famicom Dojo on YouTube for our latest videos about retro, import gaming, and more.
Okay, you gotta give me a recommendation. I'm gonna have a long plane flight, and it's one of the few times I'll actually get to like play video games. What should I beat? I'm gonna bring my 3DS, my Vita, and my portable Famicom.
Well, you should just bring the portable Famicom and forget everything else. I don't know. I got nothing.
I'm thinking right now maybe I'll finally beat Chrono Trigger.
If only you had a Switch. It wouldn't take longer than you. I guess it is a pretty long plane fight back and forth.
Chrono Trigger's people tell me is about a 20-hour game.
Okay.
And I've gotten very close originally on the SNES. And then on the iOS version, I got until it had like the mountain sequence where you really need a D-pad.
Yeah.
So I gave up on that. And then I've got the DS version right now. I don't know. Or maybe it's my time to delve into the Wizardry series.
Someday Wizardry. Someday. Anyway, right. That's
Fire Emblem. The Fire Emblem. The sure, new Fire the Emblem. I should pick. Okay. I should pick that up. And but which version? The agony of choice. You know what? I've got Pokemon X. Maybe it's time to actually play a Pokemon game for the first time.
What do you mean the first time?
For the first time.
No,
I'm not counting Go.
What? Oh, there was a whole episode of I Never Played Pokemon.
Yep.
That hasn't changed, huh?
Nope.
All right,
I played Pokemon Go.
It doesn't really count.
I started Yellow. I got about an hour into it. I kind of enjoyed it.
Unlike my 109 hours with Bob with 3 Bs. Whatever. All right. So let's bid adieu, because now you got a long flight ahead of you. And
I do. I got to finish packing. Yep.
So let us know what you think of the Switch and what you think the unknowns might actually end up being. And please call us 608-492-1923 with these thoughts if you so desire. We did get a call from Trey, which we'll play on the next Denchimail, email, including his theory about why no one calls this number.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, good times, I guess. I look forward to seeing you when you're here, sir. And then until next time, the dojo is?
The dojo is going to change my way of parenting.
Oh, my.
Because in the future,
the biggest punishment I can give to my kids is to not allow them to play their new video game system, but instead to deliver it to my room where I shall play it. So if they've been very bad, I will say, Sarah, go fetch me a Switch.
That was a long way to... If this is the last ever show because of a plane full of Galaxy Note 7s.
Oh, man. No. No, don't say that. You're using the power for evil.
I'm sure it'll be fine. No, I mean, I'm sure it'll be terrible. What do I say? How do I make it stop?
Oh, man. Let's just end this.
All right. It's over. This is the last episode ever.
No.
No, see...
You know, you just told them that. All right, let's end.
All right.
Famicom Dojo.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our theme songs, Famicom Thrash and RPG, were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at lewistrations.co.uk. Find us at famicomdojo.tv/podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. And, of course, head over to littlepodcast.com to listen to other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.
All right.
This is the sweet sounds of my voice.
And the savory sounds of mine.
Savory.
Sweet and savory, the Famicom Dojo video game podcast.
Where we're always salty. That's what savory means. I mean, okay, anyway.
okay.